resurrection of Christ. But it's real easy to get a little bit mixed up on the verses I just read. So I want to go back to you, to these verses, and talk to you just a little bit about it. It's very important that you rightly divide the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God. And we need to understand, and this is a true statement, all the Bible is for us, but all the Bible is not directly written to you to do something. You got to understand, sometime in the Bible, you need to know who's speaking. Sometimes a lost man is speaking and he don't know the truth in the Bible. Sometime even the devil is speaking in the Bible. You need to understand, everything you open the Bible is not God telling you to do something. One fellow said, I decided I'd do the first thing I could find in the Bible. So I opened it up and put my finger down, and it said, Judas went out and hanged himself. So he said, well, maybe I better try again. So he did again. Put his finger down again, read, and it said, what thou doest, doest quickly. Now, we can laugh about that. But that's how some folks treat the Bible. It's almost a superstition, almost a mystical thing they have going. No, you need to understand who's speaking, who's being spoken to, and the context, we often call it. The context, that's very important. So these verses right here would seem like a contradiction if we don't get the context and get the rest of the scripture. Peter said no scriptures of any private interpretation. In other words, if you got two verses, and those verses, the interpretation you put on them is a contradiction or a disagreement, then you got the wrong interpretation. Peter said no personal private interpretation. That, in other words, people make the Bible, they say it contradicts, it does not contradict. It will add detail and so forth, but it will not contradict. Now, if you get the wrong view of these verses I just read, you'll make the Bible contradict. Let me give you an example. And I got to just kind of hit, I can't go to all the scripture, but listen to this. You do know if you say that you were saved by grace, don't you? That means you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. Before I was saved, I thought this. I thought when I die, I believed in God. I wasn't a big enough fool to not think there was a God. I thought there was a God. My false idea was that when I die, I'll stand before Him. And on the right hand, or one side, will be the stack of my good deeds. On the other hand will be the stack of my bad deeds, and I knew which one was the highest. Didn't you? But that's a false assumption. I thought if I had a high enough stack of good deeds, I'd go to heaven. If I had a stack of bad deeds that's the highest, I'd go to hell. That's still not right. The truth is, if I could have had a great big stack of good deeds and just a small stack of bad deeds, I'd still go to hell. No sin enters heaven. All sin has to be paid for. So we understand when Jesus came, He died for all our sins. He paid the whole price. He didn't make the down payment and give us a payment book. He paid it all. And so we're saved by grace. What is grace? Something we received as a gift we did not deserve. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We understand that. So we get this down. Not saved by works, Ephesians 2:8-9, grace are you saved, that not of yourselves. And the next verse, not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand that, don't we? Okay, when you're reading the Bible then, don't contradict that. You're always got to remember you're saved by grace, not your deeds. Titus says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy that He saved us. So keep that in mind. Now let's look at the verse again, and let me show you how easy it would be to get mixed up if you mix the resurrections up. So we see here, Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you. The hour is coming, and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Talking about a resurrection now, no doubt about that. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to give life in himself. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment above all, because he's the Son of Man. Now, I'm going to drop on down for time. Verse 29, talking about the resurrection, and the graves hearing his voice. Now, verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done, watch it now, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, isn't that what I just said? Good stack, bad stack. Don't that verse sound like that? The ones that have done good, the ones that have done bad. But we're saved by grace. Do you understand how easy it is to get mixed up right here? A lot of folks think there's only one resurrection in the Bible, and that was of Christ. Truthfully, I won't go through it, but there's about seven of them. So to study it out, and some of what I'll say in the next few minutes, if I don't let the clock beat me here, we would probably teach in a college class, and not so much into the Sunday school class. You know, not only are you folks sitting out here in the auditorium, there's a lot of folks listening on the radio, online, whatever. And I have to be conscious that everybody is not on the same level with their Bible knowledge. So a preacher's big challenge is, how does he reach everybody at the level they're on and stay true to the Word? And that is not easy, folks. You ought to always pray for the preacher. That's a challenge. It's not a human thing he can do. It has to be God. I've had folks get saved over something I said, and I never said it. True. Because I'd go back and get the tape after they gave me the testimony. Well, you said so and so, and I believed on the Lord. Oh, boy, yeah, thank God. I thought, thank you, Lord. I didn't say it. The Holy Spirit said it to their heart. In the very message that I didn't actually say those words. More than one time I've checked something like that out. I've also had some of the enemies, my enemies, God's enemies, accuse me of saying something I didn't say either. And I'd go back and get the tape and check it. So the devil is able to play with it too. I understand that. But that mainly the voice of the Holy Spirit comes in people's heart. That's why preaching, not only commanded in the Bible, and it's called foolishness by the world, but God said by the foolishness of preaching, he saves them that believe. So the Spirit of God, and by the way, there's a difference in teaching, difference in what I'm doing right now, and difference in preaching. I understand that. You ought to get saved, and very likely you will get saved when the Holy Spirit is working under the preaching. But then you ought to want to come to Bible study and Sunday school to learn the Word of God, to please God after you've been saved and serving him. Amen? Back to the verse. Does the verse say here that some going to be judged here on their good deeds and one and go to heaven, some on their bad deeds and go to hell? That's what it appears. Is the Bible true here? Of course it's true here. What is the problem? You got the resurrections mixed up. You got to know which one applies. Now, think on it with me just a little bit. The Bible, from cover to cover, is farce, but we got to rightly divide it. For instance, one of the reasons folks will read that into the verse here, say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. It says the ones who've done good going to be raised and go to heaven. One done bad going to be in hell. No, wait a minute. In the Old Testament, God was bringing man, teaching man, revealing to man all the way through. Every time a Jewish family offered a lamb, and I see I'm not going to finish this. That clock has been fast on me all morning. Every time they offered a lamb, they was teaching themselves, obeying God, but teaching themselves God was going to send his lamb, sacrificial lamb. The blood was shed. The Passover at the time of leaving Egypt. You remember all that. So the Old Testament predicted, taught that Jesus was coming, but now wait a minute, he came twice. He came once to what? Die on the cross. He is coming again to set up his kingdom on earth, right? The Jews actually, the rabbis, was actually mixed up because they knew the Bible taught both advents or both comings of Christ. They saw it as one. And then they saw it couldn't quite be, so they wound up looking for two messiahs. Remember I've told you that? Isaiah 53, Jesus is predicted there to come as the suffering servant. But he's also predicted to come back, even as in the little book of Jude, he's coming with thousands of his saints, set up his kingdom. So they saw both comings, and they couldn't see how it could be in one man doing both. So they thought there'd be two messiahs. They even put names on them. And I've taught you this before. Go back in the days of John the Baptist and stuff in here. Anyway, two messiahs. One of them they call Messiah, son of Joseph. Joseph that was imprisoned when Potiphar's wife lied on him, remember? Joseph. So he was suffering. He suffered. So they said, we're going to have a Messiah comes that's going to be called the son of Joseph, and he'll suffer. But the Bible also predicted that he would be the son of David. David the king, to rule and reign. So they said, we're going to have one suffering Messiah come and one victorious Messiah come. So they were looking for two messiahs. So when John the Baptist was out there on the Jordan River baptizing, and finally when John was put in jail, and all the rabbis and all the Pharisees and all talking, and by the way, at the time Jesus came, they should have recognized him. But they wanted him to bring in the kingdom, and of course he didn't bring in the kingdom. He's going to do that at the second advent when he comes back in glory. Now, with all that said, they had two messiahs. So John the Baptist sent word, his disciples, to go to Jesus while John's in jail and said, are you the one or do we look for another? And of course, Jesus answered him back, said, look at all, and he described the miracles and things that was happening, which the Messiah was supposed to do. John understood that. But the rabbis and the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees were mixed up on it. They're still today, with all that's going on in Israel now, they're still looking for that Messiah, not recognizing that Jesus has come. Why is it going on like it is politically and the wars and all that today? Because the Jewish people are going to be brought to a place that finally the blindness departs when Jesus comes back at the second advent, defends them from the nations that's gathered to destroy them. They're going to finally get their eyes open, but they're still blind. I turn to the Jewish channel every now and then. Most of the time they got English printed on the Bible on the bottom, even though they're speaking Hebrew. I turn to it once in a while late at night and try to decipher a little bit. I feel so sorry for those people. If they just knew the Messiah, they are, and it's going to happen sudden. Bible speaks about a nation being born in a day when the shades fall off the eyes and they recognize who Jesus is. Let me get back to this because I got 1 minute here and I'm going to steal one. Oh gosh. Let me just say this. If we went, there's a resurrection here and some that have done good and some that have done bad. Yes. But don't get mix them up. This is not the rapture. The rapture is not in this verse. No saved Christians in this verse. No dead Christians in this verse. These are yet resurrections ahead. And if you went over to Revelation chapter 20, both of them are mentioned. And my time is about up. Let me just say, if you read Revelation 20, look for two words in it. One appearance for each one. Two resurrections found in Revelation chapter 20. They are separated. These two resurrections are separated by 1,000 years. The millennial reign of Christ. One is called the first resurrection. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And then the second resurrection. Blessed is he that have part in the first resurrection, because death can't claim him anymore. Understand the people here in this verse, this is not the rapture. Do you understand? Jesus knew about the rapture. Of course he did. Later on, Paul would identify it. That's a secret, mysterious disappearance of saved people. The lost will not hear the trumpet when it is sounded for those that are saved. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we that remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. The lost loved one you have that's not saved will still be here. If you love them, you better tell about them, because I want to tell you, we are so close, got to be so close to the rapture. And the rapture's not in this verse. The two resurrections are separated by 1,000 years. Revelation 20. I know I only touched the high parts, but my time's up. You didn't listen fast enough. All right, 8:40. That's not bad this morning. Praise